Everybody, welcome to Chatter from the Underground. I think this is episode 11, and tonight we're going to be discussing multiverses. So for all of you who are fans of the Multiverse of Madness, was into the Spider-Verse, things of that nature, that's what we're going to be discussing tonight. And I believe Amber's got a little intro for us, so take it away, Amber.
Well, I think I'm going to take a page out of Nick's book this week. We're going to start us off with some questions. So have you ever wondered what things might be like if you had made a decision different than the one you did make?
Hey, welcome to the world of a bartender. Welcome to the world of a person who dispenses drinks for a living. And welcome to my life every second of every day. Absolutely. be it what to wear or what to eat, what route to take to the elevator. There's only one. I still seem to manage to get it wrong, but absolutely. That sounds like me in a nutshell. And I do love thinking about what if, what could be, and what would have been.
Especially whenever, like, you get into an argument with someone and they say something, you're like, oh man, I had the perfect comeback. What didn't I think of it then? Right? Oh,
the jerk store call.
I mean, maybe there is a universe where we are all far more witty than we are here.
Oh god, what a dangerous prospect considering you.
I am sarcastic. Thank you very much.
Yeah. There could be one more sarcastic.
Yeah.
Tell yourself, Amber and Cameron, what do you guys say to answer your own question, Puss?
Sorry?
To answer the question that Amber posed, how about yourselves? to reflect back and echo, what about you two?
Well, there's definitely one thing I would never change. And that is, of course, getting my drama degree.
Oh. She thought he was going to be sweet. Look at that.
He usually is.
Usually. I joke. I don't regret meeting Amber. And I don't regret I don't regret what's happened with us for the past year. There's plenty of other things I regret. None of which involves her.
Good answer.
Well done.
In a different universe, I would have a teaching degree and work in special ed. So there's definitely, wonder what would have happened if I had continued with my degree, I'd gone that direction rather than into tech.
Yeah. There's an alternate universe where I actually went on to become a pilot for an airline, which is hilarious considering both would have resulted in me not having a job either way as soon as I graduated.
very true.
Yeah, now we're getting way ahead, but also something to ponder when we probably get to something similar to this question. But do you think with those two separate paths that you would have been forging, it still would have got to the it still would have brought you back to the Amber and Cameron path? Yeah, my gesture thing now is just kicked in. Now it appreciates my gestures, my AI camera.
Never know. It is all go for the place now.
It's all over the place. It's flying.
Well, ladies
in a multiverse, that camera just killed me.
Steam need me.
It's like murder.
I honestly don't know. Yeah. In
sure.
There are so many different ways things could have gone. That's for sure.
And Right on. I totally hear you. I think different things going on totally encapsulates exactly what the multiverse really comes down to. It is literally the definition of different things going on. It probably couldn't be more succinct and nutshelled into more of a package than that.
Right. Now for another question. Have any of you ever experienced deja vu?
Sorry, didn't you just ask that?
All right, Nick. Touche, my friend. Touche. Okay.
Classic Groundhog Day reference right there. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I love those days when you're doing something or just living your life, going to work, coming home, cooking dinner. You're like, didn't I just do this like yesterday?
That's the thing. Absolutely. I agree. It's like, it'll be a little thing. And it's like, you know, the mundane routine. It's like, okay, I'm used to that. But like, it'll be like something like crazy, crazy specific. Like, didn't I just flip through Netflix through those exact same trailers and then decide on something? I'm like, I could have swore I just saw these trailers in that succession. Like, yeah, it's a little slice of life that it's like, it's too perfect that, no, this actually did happen. So absolutely, I have absolutely to answer the question.
For me, the most major one I ever had was I put my bag down in one of my geography classes, and I went, didn't I put my bag down already? And haven't we already done this subject today?
I understand that.
Yeah. For me, it tends to be a little more obscure. It's I'm in a place I've never been before, or I'm talking to somebody, I'm like, I've had this conversation word for word before. But it is always something very specific, not an action that could be easily repeated.
Ooh, that brings up something that's even more chill-inducing. Usually the deja vu I've had, it's at work or home or somewhere I've already been. So I'm like, like I said, it's little things like, huh, that's weird. Didn't I literally just grab my sandwich? I remember grabbing my sandwich and looking at a YouTube video while listening to this podcast exactly in that combination. But I don't know if I've ever experienced deja vu in a new setting. That's hair raising. That almost seems like premonition. That almost seems to be more beyond deja vu, if I'm not misterming it.
It's possible, but I think premonition and things like that, divination, might be a topic for another day.
I've definitely had
precognitive dreaming.
One. I can see it in the future.
While I'm asleep.
Come on, you're throwing me underhanders here. Come on, I'm
just smacking them right
out. You were in a roll tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's another universe where we're actually laughing.
Is that the universe where I'm really funny? And I'm so used to how I'm used to people having a few drinks and laughing, And I guess we're running more shots. You know, I think I've become more of a scientist giving out pellets to gerbils instead of a bartender. Which this is a very I'm going to pass this on to the multiverse Knicks. You ought to cut back on the stand-up comedy and keep on giving the people what they want.
Speaking of more shots, Nick, before we dive into our first theory, what do you got for us tonight?
Absolutely great question. As the night gets a little longer and my glass gets a little more empty, I want to come up with a great theme cocktail. And in honor of our departed, had a little bit of, he was trying to lift up, I think, what do you say? He was trying to lift the piano or something, but cool breeze, not here tonight. But mentioned the reference to Spider-Man and the Multiverse of Madness. And actually found a really cool take on a classic. So these guys kind of took the classic, just a good old, classic screwdriver and have totally twisted it, taken ingredients from universe A, B, C through Z27, and they have made the Venom multiverse crossover. It's actually a little bit of, because Venom is not in that one. The technical term is a Venom strike. It's very interesting. Looks kind of like a Caesar if you have those down where you're from, but the main ingredient is the original mind eraser itself. It is 2 ounces of tequila. You're going to throw a quarter of an ounce of blood orange in there if you can get it. You can't. Orange juice will be just fine. Quarter of an ounce of creme de cassis. That's going to give it some bite, hence the Venom strike. Throw a little bit of lemon juice in there. Just a squirt. Throw a little bit of grenadine if you have some. That'll give it a little bit of sweetness, and that's going to give it that amazing color. And the crazy thing about this fantastic cocktail, it is the hot sauce. Believe it or not, you're going to throw a little bit of hot sauce in there. I'm talking less than a dash. I've seen some interesting rimming with black sanding sugar, or really just black and white sugar with black and white pepper with sugar. That's optional. A little bit of soda in there is going to give us some fizz. But this interesting contraption is extremely refreshing. It's a take on a classic screwdriver with many ingredients taken from around the world. I present to you the Venom Strike.
Sounds delicious. So,
deliciously interesting.
Diving into our first theory, we mentioned deja vu. One of the big multiverse theories is that when you're experiencing deja vu, you're crossing dimensions, crossing universes. What are your thoughts?
Are they all bubbles? Like all they're always depicted as bubbles that kind of sometimes run into each other, kind of mix a little bit, have a little bit of like a crossover.
That is indeed one of the big theories, the bubble universe, where you've got different dimensions and each of them is encapsulated into a bubble. And every once in a while, as those bubbles float around in the ether, they bump into each other.
I absolutely do love the idea that deja vu is a portal into a little bit, a little slice of that life of our multi-universe counterparts. And I sincerely do believe that if there is any travel between the multiverse through the bubbles per se, the difference in the closest ones, it's almost, I believe, in a proximity when it comes to the multiverses, even though it's on dimensions we probably can't even appreciate right now, or at least imagine. I like to think that even jumping over to the multiverse, it's everything is just such a slight degree that you wouldn't notice a difference until you got millions of degrees away. Like the multiverse next door might be exactly today, but instead of having an apple, I had an orange, and that is an entire. So it's like it's until you jump over that. And so I had, instead of having an apple, I had a beer, which I did not have for breakfast. That was my lunch. So right there, like it gets into that little thing where I love the idea that deja vu is going to show us that. It's not showing something that did happen to us. It's not showing us the past. It's showing the present. It's showing, hey, wait a minute, this happened, but it didn't. But maybe it actually didn't. It is happening. So absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean,
what do you guys think as far as like does that totally loony, or does that kind of make a little bit of does that kind of correspond with your bubbles theory, which I totally agree with. That seems to be the close proximity of bubbles.
I just hope the version of me that wound up replacing me did a better decision than what I did.
I mean, the bubble theory kind of scares me because bubbles pop.
That's when that universe ends.
And what happens to all of the people in that universe?
Is their vision goes white and then it says level 2.
Well done.
Oh Lord,
I can't take originality for that joke, but
I'm gonna look around and I'm gonna be like, everyone's on PS5s, I've been playing on original NES here. That's what explains everything.
Oh geez, I've been on a Dreamcast, no wonder my life's been terrible.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, from what I understand, Dreamcasts are the unsung heroes of before their time and underrated consoles. But
yeah, they were doing so well, and then Sony came along.
In a multiverse, the Dreamcast is on its 8th generation. There's a Dreamcast VR somewhere out there in another verse. They're, you know, Sony has lost the battle. Sega owns Sony, and Spider-Man is put out by the Sega Genesis partnership with Nintendo in ways we couldn't imagine. I bet you know what the craziest thing is, how extremely similar everything is while different they are. And that's where I believe those intricacies and differences in the multiverse occur.
There's an alternate universe where Sony and Nintendo didn't split apart the day after announcing the PlayStation.
And there's a multiverse where, or a universe where Marvel has full creative, you know, freedom to make Spider-Man movies and games. Sure. I don't have to worry about Sony doing it. That was a stupid decision on Marvel. I don't know why they did that.
I'm aware.
Yeah, there's definitely,
I'm sure they paid them a lot of money.
Possibilities out there.
Well, I think in the end it wasn't a ton of money. It was more Marvel was kind of desperate, so therefore they sold their they diversified by selling the movie rights of Spider-Man to Sony, and I believe Warner Brothers acquired the very similar Hulk rights, but I believe that's how it went.
If I recall the reasons why in our universe Sony has the rights to Spider-Man is because they had the rights to the Marvel characters, sold them, but I think it's a case of someone said we don't want Spider-Man because no one cares about Spider-Man. And then the Tobey Maguire films happened and everyone went, Oh, they actually like Spider-Man. Uh-oh.
Spider-Man was always underutilized.
I think I know what happened. They were like the head of Marvel got like a note, and it was actually a script, and it got crossed over, and it was like actually Doc Ock going, nobody cares about Spider-Man. And he was like, oh my God, is this right? This market research from a doctor. Dr. Octavius. Yeah, sell him. That's it. And the ultimate easy fumble. It happens to who can't relate to something like that.
Speaking of Spider-Man, that is a really good example of multiverses. I mean, just looking into the Spider-Verse.
Absolutely.
Big fan of both films, and in honor of our not here today, Cool Breeze, who is a big fan as well. Yeah, I think Spider-Verse nails an insane amount of things through film, and on top of it is one of the most definitive multiverse movies that we've had the pleasure of having to see and just expand anything I could imagine about the multiverse. That movie took it and said, like, hold my beer, like, wow.
Yeah. Now the movies are amazingly done, and I especially love how you get different variations of the same character. And some of them are small variations, like you've got the different Peter Parkers.
Yeah.
And some of them are huge variations, like you've got Peter Porker.
Yeah.
Spider Girl instead of Spider Man.
Spider Pig. That's a Simpsons reference.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Spider Noir myself. His obsession with the Rubik's Cube is a movie on its own.
I think the robot's my favorite.
I actually was a little sad when the robot, when the robot gets destroyed, I was really kind of a little down about it. And, I'm really looking forward to
don't have anything else.
But if they can save his brain, that is all that matters because he can be rebuilt.
That gets into a great question. You're absolutely right. I find it does show it's almost like Spider-Verse feels like almost what we were talking about with every single bubble next to it is a little different. And like, this is like, not insanely over where it's a Spider-Man lizard version, but it's like, it's Spider-Man, the blonde version and the younger version, the older. It's got that perfect, like, so believable, so viable. And again, it's animation at its best.
The only universal constant, Uncle Ben dying.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. that's a good topic, though. I mean, there is so much media out there that addresses multiverses, different verses. We've got Spider-Verse, we've got
Star Trek with the Mirror Universe.
Old versus new.
Yeah, Spock with the Van Dyke beard. And then...
Classic.
And then next thing you know, all of a sudden...
He's 12.
Yeah. Doctor Who, when they reintroduced the Cybermen in the 2006, the Cybermen were reintroduced by having a parallel universe. So that was their way of doing that.
Live, Die, Repeat.
You mentioned Star Trek. One of the first ones I remember is an episode where Worf goes away, the Next Generation. Worf goes away for a tournament, and every time he kind of wakes up, moves around, his placement in the tournament changes from winning to losing, and his trophy changes, and he's married to Counselor Troy, and Alex is, he doesn't exist, and he does, and that one, and I remember the end, it was really, you had all the multiple Worfs in a shuttlecraft, which actually doesn't kind of make sense if in that context when you're kind of getting there, but yeah, that's probably my first big memory with the multiverse is that particular episode.
Yeah. You get, like, the one... You get all the different Enterprises, and it's like, oh, in this one, it in this one, Picard was not able to survive becoming Locutus, but they still destroyed the Borg cube. And then the next one comes along and it's like, no, the Federation's gone, man. It's all gone to hell.
Yeah, Riker was going nutty in that one. Yeah, I distinctly remember that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Trying to think what other multiverse stuff there is out there.
It was mentioned before, but Everything Everywhere All at Once, the Best Picture winner from a few years ago.
Yep. Everything Everywhere All
Make
at Once.
That high mainstream to get right to literally the pinnacle of movie awardness. And saw it in theaters, love the concept, giggled and laughed. Don't love it. This is a hot take, unpopular. I don't love, and I want to love it. I went to theater for it. I watched Chris Stuckman's review literally right before going, me and buddy went, we got to see this right now. And we rushed to theaters and didn't love it. I don't know why I want to love it, but I just thought it was insists upon itself, to quote Peter Griffin.
Nick, have you made any headway in the Dark Tower?
I have continued with listening to the podcast, and I'm reading around with it, and I have gotten back to my second read where they, and this is kind of spoilers for anybody who hasn't, but it's the most shocking part that I reread again, loved it. Still in book one, though, and I think a spoiler, anybody reading Dark Tower part one, or book one, the Gunslinger, yeah, when he murders that entire town, oh man, I was not gonna lie to you, and you're right, stick with it, your advice was absolutely right, because I was I kind of heard the spoiler on explaining it, kind of forgot about it, and as I was reading, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm in. Literally a little more than halfway through book one, and now I really want to read book two, so yeah, thank you for the advice to stick with it, because wow.
That is another great example of multiverses.
You can see the hints. You can see the hints.
Yeah.
And Cameron, you mentioned earlier.
Too much for you, but yeah.
What would happen if, like, the multiverses all of a sudden, like, popped or something like that? And I was looking up the Kardashev scale, and I guess a society that was on, like, level 5 or 6 that could make or destroy universes at will, they'd be like, ah, that one popped. Crap. Let's make a new one.
I've just remembered one. It's technically a multiverse in the sense of someone is modifying with time, also sticking to Star Trek. There's the Voyager two-parter. I think it's End of Time, where basically the guy who kills that blows up RoboCop in the first film and causes RoboCop to happen.
That would be Red from that 70s show.
Yeah,
Red from that help you at all.
He's in charge of a time ship, effectively. And they're erasing things from time. And that changes the universe every single time. So you're seeing all these different universes happening because effectively what he's doing is the multiversing of what if this didn't exist? What if that didn't exist?
Yeah. Media-wise, one of my favorites is Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat.
Fantastic.
Because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
But I think a favorite of almost all of us is Fringe.
You mentioned it last week. Walternet is probably my favorite multiverse character in any media. What a fantastic flip and a great way to take such a bumbling character and flip him with using the magic of multiverse to just go, wow, this is right. I couldn't agree more.
John Bishop is a phenomenal actor in his own right as well to be able to play.
What a flex.
Yeah.
But, that's a great example of blimps instead of planes. And the tower
is
ending. You know, you see the two universes side by side, and in one shot, the twin towers are still there.
Yeah.
As discussed on a previous episode, I believe you said it. I couldn't remember if it was the finale or the beginning, but I remember it was set up as a very impactful shot. And even myself up here in the true north, even myself, I was like, whoa, like that impacted. I still remember that scene to this day. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, you know, that's where it really cracks your mind open. And it pulls you in. That show is great, so great about taking concepts that seemed out there that you couldn't fathom and pulling you in and making it so accessible. And couldn't agree more. Fringe was, it did the multiverse right.
I think the favorite thing that really drove it home for me on the Fringe versus was that first episode where you're in the Redverse and a simple pencil, something that all of us have in our homes. I've probably got four sitting in the desk right in front of me at least. But over there, it is something so life altering.
Yeah. People are forgetting how to write over there. The SIDS. The SIDS, the civilian identity document. Imagine if, you know, here in the United States, we'd have, because I think they came in after the 9/11 attacks in the Fringeverse.
Yes.
As part of the Patriot Act in that universe. Imagine if in this world's universe, they tried to implement a national identity document in the United States in this world. Like, that would be such an interesting way of looking at things. Gone would be the social security number, I think, and in its place would be whatever your civilian identity number is.
I suspect they'd be the same thing.
Yeah.
But another one.
Difficult to fraud.
Another one, a good one, and one that I know Java will appreciate, is Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah. Multiverse of Madness.
Which, to be honest with you, they didn't have a ton of multiverse in it, and a little bit they teased, I wanted to see more.
Yeah.
What if, actually, Marvel's What If would also.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think that would be the better, as Marvel goes, because not only are you getting these alternate dimensions, you're literally getting, like, instead of Captain America, you've got Captain Britain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or...
No, What If was fantastic.
Black Panther is Shuri. You know.
I actually want to take one slight step back, though, because the one thing I remember, one of the big themes in getting back to Fringe, it actually brings up a really, really deep moral question. You see Walter, the sweet Walter, who, and this almost puts you in, would you do this if you had the opportunity? Would you not care about the implications that you really would never have to deal with because it's never going to happen, even in your universe where, you know, Walter loses a child, discovers a way to go to the universe next to him that's very similar and replace said child. It actually, you know, we're getting into the meat and potatoes of what it is. Is this something that's just insanely just, you know, deep?
Yeah, I mean, that is something huge that has an impact on someone. Losing a child is not something
easy.
It has such a huge impact on the person you are and the decisions you make. And grief does things to people. So, you know, I could very much understand his decisions.
I've just thought of a brilliant free indie game now, a free Flash game now, called No One Has to Die. And with multiverse, this works perfectly. So the concept is simple. No one has to die. You play this, it's a short game, it'll take you like maybe 30 minutes to an hour to play the whole thing. What happens is so the story is you're at this facility that's a secret, that, spoiler alert, is a secret government facility. And you have a fire starts in the facility and you are the only person who can navigate the people to escape the fire. And as you play through the game, what will happen is one person has to be sacrificed to the flames. And you have to save that one particular... You choose who you're saving, basically. But what makes the game really cool is that it encourages you to retry all the different paths you could have taken and makes a story out of those choices. And without giving away too much, the twist at the end is absolutely
incredible. Some like Prince of Persia vibes, some like Planet vibes, This sounds really loud. But yeah, talking about it, give me some chills. This sounds pretty intense. And sorry, what platform is this on?
It's on browser.
It's a Flash game. You know, like we played when we were kids.
It might have been converted to HTML5 by now.
Hey, I'm trying to switch through the Castle of the Winds. I'm all about the original OGs, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
If nothing else, it's probably downloadable from itch.io.
But, kind of taking that and jumping back into the different theories. Another one of the theories that comes out about multiple universes is that as you die or as you make life-changing decisions, another universe splits off. I think Avengers, not Endgame.
All right, ready to go.
Welcome back.
So, quick pause there if you noticed a glitch. Well, it was just us switching universes.
Well done.
Good cover.
but we're talking about media, and while we were in the process of hopping over, Java mentioned a good one.
The movie with Jet Li as a star called The One. And the premise is, this one's a little different than most multiverse movies, simply because instead of there being infinite multiverses, in The One, there's a set number. They have them all recorded. They know how many there are. They know, whatever. And in that little movie, basically there's one person. You've got the same person, every multiverse, every universe of that thing. And every time one of them dies, it actually spreads that energy throughout all the other of that same person and all the versions of their universe. So the bad guy in the movie is a version of Jet Li that's trying to go through all the multiverses and kill all versions of him, which makes him more powerful. He gets stronger, he gets smarter, faster, he's just more powerful in general.
Fantastic melting of the genres, big fan of The One. Absolutely.
Definitely, it's a pretty good premise, I thought.
Oh, awesome. And really, really early in the whole multiverse media thing where, it was actually a really cool mix of, Jet Li's awesome martial arts, the whole Asian cinematic, and they took that and put it into an already awesome, fantastic premise. Yeah, The One is really ahead of its time. Awesome reco, and I'm due for a rewatch, Java. Fantastic.
May watch that tonight, as a matter of fact. No, God, no.
It's a good one.
If only we still had Bruce Lee, man. If he'd have stuck around, man.
Right,
him and his son. There's an episode right there.
That is definitely I suspect at some point in time we will dive into movie conspiracies and all of that.
I volunteer to be a guest on those again.
No, absolutely. We can remote call you, bro, easily.
Unfortunately, it is 5 a.m. for him usually.
I will get up.
Do what?
I will happily get up.
At 4 man. O'clock I would love to. We can connect you at any point in time. I can call you myself or Amber can, whatever. And that's another reason, Amber, that little machine I just sent you the link for is perfect for that. You can bring him in on another channel.
Yeah.
If I could throw in one quick little, when it comes to novels, literature, especially audiobooks, Peter Kleins has the Threshold Universe, which actually blends multiverse and multi-dimension. Big fan of that, especially the second novel called The Fold, where it's a really great premise where they kind of mix in, as Javed mentioned, The One, two really amazing premises or genres into one. The Fold is where it's part of the Threshold series for fans of Peter Kleins' novel, 14 being the first one and The Fold being the second. In The Fold, you see humanity discover teleportation, but there's something wrong where every now and then something just goes wrong and they can't figure out why. And slight spoiler is they actually discover what they haven't. It is not teleportation. It's actually multi-universal transportation. So anytime they think they're teleporting, their counterpart is teleporting. And every now and then, it gets down to the minutia of
they can't breathe our exact mixture of oxygen. There's just something where they can't figure out. And it's a fantastic little wrap up where they discover, oh, wait a minute, we're not teleporting. We're moving through the very, very slight multiverses. And that one really stuck with me. That's The Fold. That's not a spoiler because that's only part of the book. And high recommend for Peter Klein's The Fold series, starting with 14. Excellent, excellent little set of novels.
I mean, I think we could go on for days just about multiverses and media. There's three books that come to mind for me. There's, of course, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, which, fantastic. Oh, my excellent. God.
The OG.
Oh, my God, dude.
The OG OG.
Yes.
I think three of us probably haven't read those in several decades.
Right. Overdue. The last movies that came out is only The Witch and the Wardrobe, Prince Caspian, and the Dawn Treader. But yeah. I love those three movies, man.
They unfortunately Why didn't they continue? Lasting.
Yeah, I wanted to see The Silver Chair. Why the hell didn't they bring that one out? I want to do it. What? Why?
I grew up on the very underrated family, the Disney Family Channel versions, which actually, looking back at them, were damn good. So shout out to the Family Channel versions.
It's just like any version of like Lord of the Rings. Didn't matter whether it was a cartoon or really cheaply made. Such a good story that it was good regardless. Just like all the Narnia books. Loved them all.
Right? They are amazing. And I think they're a staple of childhood.
Absolutely.
And then we've got Neil Gaiman. American Gods could loosely be construed as multiverses, but the universe at the end of the lane, or the ocean at the end of the lane, I think. Because they do go into a world of fairies and magic and things that don't exist here. In addition to that, his Sandman universe is also very much a multiverse. But I think my absolute favorite, and I think Java's wife would agree with me when it comes to this one, Stephen King, the master, is, of course, his Dark Tower series. But my absolute favorite would be The Talisman, which you've got two universes sitting side by side. And if you step sideways just the right way, you go from one to the other.
Love it. Oh, nice. The premise sounds brilliant. I'm kicking myself for not having read. I believe that's with Peter Strub. There's a partnership, authorship with that. Okay, and I've definitely heard amazing things about it. And it's going to have to bump up to the to-be-read list on this guy's list. Because, that sounds right up my alley. It sounds delicious, and it sounds excellent.
But
I was going to mention something.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention something. We were talking about multiverses and then multi-dimensions. The dimensions are kind of different. In that, like, things like, you know, we know 1, 2, and 3 dimensions. We know the fourth dimension's time, but it keeps going. Apparently, scientists have proven up to what, 11 dimensions now?
Something like that.
I've heard 12.
Yeah. You heard 12? Well, if you look, actually, I found a few really, really interesting videos on YouTube. Just type in how many dimensions are there, and it goes into detail, you know, explaining them exactly how, like, you know, the way the timeline goes, where, like, basically, you know, the next dimensions are folding on top of themselves and things like that. And it's really cool because obviously, you know, the fourth one's time, and then 5, 6, 7 are kind of like the next level up from 1, 2, and 3. And then 8, 9, 10's level up from that as, you know, also 1, 2, 3. And it just keeps going. It's crazy. And I mean, by the way they're explaining it, it doesn't really seem like it kind of stops. It just kind of keeps going like infinitely.
Yeah. Infinite number of dimensions for an infinite number of universes.
Exactly.
And help shout out. No, you're absolutely right. We have a quick shout out to the current Netflix series Three Body Problem, which deals with exactly what you're talking about, dimensions mixing with a little bit. It actually doesn't deal with multiverse. And to pose an interesting question, imagine a weapon on the scale of something so big that you could take the 3D dimension and turn it into the second dimension. Without getting too ahead of anything or spoilers to the Three Body Problem, what you're talking about, Java, is extremely current and hits the nail right on the head. So you're commenting on something that's really popular right now, and you actually might have provided a spoiler to something that you didn't even know about. So well done, my friend.
Whoops. My bad.
And as we keep mentioning, go check out the Three Body Problem. I think that is 3 episodes in a row now.
Yeah, you know, I probably got to my Three Body Problem. Fanboy right here. Yeah, it's my Star Wars.
Yeah.
Welcome to our sponsor. No.
Yeah, yeah. Netflix, feel free to pay us. Yeah, well done.
Netflix,
yeah,
absolutely, if you're listening. Absolutely.
10%. 10%.
10% my ass.
Well, we'll settle for royalties. Trust
well
me,
done.
Royalties over 10%. Well done. But, so there is one more thing I kind of wanted to dive into before we wrap up tonight.
Please.
You, we're all kind of a fan of mystery and unsolved. In, mm-hmm. Have you guys ever heard of things that seem like they're not quite right? Things that somebody came through somewhere they're not supposed to.
Yes, and the TSA agent was very upset with me.
I want to hear that story.
I need an example of what you're talking about, because I think I might know what you mean, but give me an example, Amber.
So the one that comes to mind for me is the man from
Tourette.
Okay, and I think I'm following.
He arrived in Tokyo in 1954 with a passport from a country called Tourette. This country did not exist, does not exist. There are stamps, there are dates, he has traveled.
The man, when Japanese authorities took him aside and said, this is a fictional country, they showed him a map and they said, point on the map where Tourette is, please. And he looked at the map and he pointed to the Pyrenees between Spain and France. And he said, this is where it should be on this map. Why is it not on the map? And the man, they were so confused that they even took him to a hotel to continue questioning him. And then he promptly disappeared from the hotel.
That's insane. This reminds me of the Mandela effect, as a matter of fact.
I was going right there. Absolutely.
That's another one is, you know, people, one of the things is the Mandela effect. People say it might be, you know, you experienced another dimension for a while or another verse.
Somebody kind of blipped in and out. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it also sounds like a really great way to get a free hotel room in Japan for a night.
Yeah. I mean, he's stuck in the hotel room. So where's the
fun? Nick. Yeah. Still, maybe he was sleepy.
Sleepwalked every out of there, huh?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's a good point. You guys seen the one where of course you've seen the Berenstain Bears ones, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Now, who hasn't seen that one? The one that I thought was the coolest was where New Zealand is in relation to Australia.
Yeah,
like I believe I can't remember. Is it above and like to the top left of Australia?
No, it's below and to the bottom. It's in the bottom. New Zealand is west by southwest. That's east by southeast, sorry.
No, it's northeast.
As a Redditor, I was under the impression that New Zealand didn't exist, actually. About New Zealand, you're saying? Sorry.
Say what you said again.
New Zealand is east by southeast.
See? All right. That's not where I remember it being at. I remember it being above, like basically right, to the northwest, little northwest of it.
Yeah. Well, this one just went, I was thinking of Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, New Zealand, you're right. You were right, though. I'm looking at the map right now, and New Zealand is, you know.
We all remember it being in a different
place. East, southeast is the word I'm trying to say. I'm looking at the map.
Yeah, to be fair, I play way too many Paradox Interactive games for.
You also grew up in the Southern Hemisphere, at least part of the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
We didn't learn about New Zealand, though. Nobody learns about New Zealand.
It's just one of the ones, like I said, because whenever someone first asked me, and I was like, it's up on top left, right? Well, I thought it was, and they're like, no, it's actually down here in the bottom right corner. I'm like,
The one for me is the Monopoly man wearing a monocle. I could have sworn he wore
that's one. Mine right there. Absolutely. I always remember Uncle Moneymaker. He has an official
Money
name
bags?
That I can't remember. And I think that comes down to a simple confusion with him and Mr. Peanut is really probably the simple explanation.
Yeah.
I think they both were very popular around the same time, mm-hmm. at least, especially for the three of us.
Yeah.
You're still a baby.
Mystery Peanut still around? Yeah, I don't even know, Mr. Like, that's right. Since you're and, like, you know what? Looking, think back, I'm like, does Mr. Peanut have a monocle, or he might actually have the glasses? I do remember.
No, Mr. Peanut has a monocle.
He has a monocle, okay. A top hat, and
a bow tie. And is a cane, I think, along those lines, maybe. And shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What about Jiffy Peanut Butter?
Sure. Big fan.
Isn't it?
Doesn't exist.
I thought it was just Jiff.
Oh, damn it.
Isn't it? Yeah,
doesn't exist. It is just Jiff. But Jiffy, that we all remember, does not exist, nor did it ever.
Maybe that's some cross-brand promotion, because, like, you know, Jiffy Lube exists, maybe.
Maybe. I remember watching commercials with little kids going, oh, I'd like some Jiffy Peanut Butter. I remember this, like, plain as day.
I'm trying to remember existed. If there's a Mandela effect about Mickey Mouse, and I'm trying to remember what it is. It's something to do with his gloves. I think it's people forgetting that they're actually gloves and not just hands painted white.
Yeah, I believe that.
I think that's just people being crazy.
I can tell you one that is definitely nonsense, though. One Mandela effect that is definitely nonsense, though. Star Wars Episode 5, Luke, I am your father. That's just people misquoting it, and James Earl Jones has just gone along with it because he's tired of people asking mm-hmm. him to say the line, and he goes, and he's tired of going, no, that's not how the line is actually said. He says it that way because he knows that's what the fans want.
There's a few throughout the film. You're absolutely right. That's probably the most popular one. The one that I always bring up that people kind of get shocked with and like to try to prove me wrong until it proves me right is the words "Hello, Clarice" are not once uttered in Silence of the Lambs. The combination is.
What?
So, yeah, but
like, hello? Yeah. It's just like, well, hello there or something. That could also
really?
Just
be
Star Wars. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
Right?
Really?
Honestly,
those are the two big ones. I think those are the two big ones. I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. With the Luke, I'm your father. Like, even I probably still quote it, even knowing it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all, hell, who hasn't?
No, I am your father.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? Going back to Star Wars, you guys are bringing it up. When I was a kid, the first time I saw him, because I think Jedi came out the year I was born, Return of the Jedi, I think, 79. I noticed
Jedi, I think, is 84. It's 77, 81, and 84, I believe. I think
83, 84, 74. Around there.
I know so the first one came out. 77's first one.
Yeah.
Okay, it's been, I don't remember, but I remember noticing they all said episode 4, 5, and 6. And I remember being told as a what?
I'm fairly certain they didn't, is the thing. Yeah, so that is crazy.
They would have been referred to as 1, 2, and 3, surely. Well, the first one is just
a new
one.
They never
had, whenever it had the yellow words coming up on A New Hope, it said episode 4. On Empire Strikes Back, it said episode 5, Return of the Jedi, episode 6. And as a child, I was always told, I was asked about it, of course, and I was told, well, they wrote books, and they had 3 books that happened before this. And I'm like, so as I got to be a teenager, learned about libraries, whatnot, I looked them up. I was like, I'm going to read these books. Didn't exist.
From my understanding.
So why were they labeled episode 4, 5, and 6?
From my understanding, once Empire came around and George Lucas realized that people really wanted the backstory of Vader, he did a little bit of retroactive on subsequent, because there's been a lot of re-releases even before the remasters and everything. So that's a bit of a, I think the Mandela effect is both right and wrong, because it's very regional. The initial ones didn't have any episode numbers, but they never had episode 1, 2, 3. And then all of a sudden, that'd be very confusing, too, where all of a sudden, you know, you don't have the internet and there's no way to look this up. But he kind of started sneaking in 4, 5, 6 with always having the intention of going back and doing 1, 2, 3.
That's what I figured. But
prequels.
Like I said, you're saying this and, you know, you said the last one came out in what, 84 or 87?
I believe Jedi's 84. I want to say 77, 81 and 84.
It's definitely 77 for the first one, because it got released the same time as Close Encounters, and there's a story there.
So I would have been around 5 or 6 years old when Jedi came out, which means unless they decided to, I don't think they did a whole lot of remasters to look at back in the early 80s, but I distinctly remember asking my parents, why does it say episode 4? I thought, because I was watching the New Hope, it's like, I thought this was the first one.
Sure.
Being a little kid, I was confused because it was just I distinctly remember this. Well, I mean, now obviously nowadays, you know, we have like, I don't know, 8,000 movies, but I think we're up to, I don't know, 57 and a half. Hell, I don't know. But
Rocky 30.
Yeah, but like I said, I distinctly remember being extremely young and asking my mom or dad or whoever, why does it say episode 4? Isn't this the first one?
I believe right around The Empire Strikes Back, right around that time, he made that decision that he was going to go back. And because there are interviews where he talks about doing that, and he actually even talks about doing the sequels, the following three, and then right around the prequel time with how they were received and how much work they were, he kind of said, I'm not going to do the sequels, and that's comes up to Disney buying them to do the sequels. But I believe we have some information over here.
Yeah, I just for whatever reason, I was always told there were books that that apparently didn't exist back then. I was like, okay.
From what I recall correctly, it's a case of so Lucas had been working on Star Wars during the production of THX-1138. Yes, my autism's showing. I know. But the script was absolutely enormous, and they said to him, you got to break this down into three. And the original trilogy is supposed to be one cohesive story.
Yeah, sure.
With the first movie, it was a case of he actually thought the movie wasn't going to succeed, because that year he was going up against Steven Spielberg with Close Encounters. And they actually made a bet where they said, because they're very good friends, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, and Lucas made a deal of for every dollar more than my film makes compared to yours, I will pay you 15% of the royalties or something like that.
They traded and points. Yeah,
they traded points. Close Encounters did the modern day equivalent of about $350 million at the box office. Star Wars did $770 million at the box office. Jesus. But the first movie was effectively just to see whether or not the story was going to be a success. And then because people were paying to go watch it again and again and again, George Lucas went, oh, okay. So he made the next two movies, Empire Strikes Back in 1980, and then 1983 for Return of the Jedi.
Close. You bring up actually something really great, and it exists out there. And Jabba, getting back to the books, where you're making some of the lore comes in with the confusion, I do know that during the period where Star Wars is coming out, and getting back to the discussion between Spielberg and Lucas, that that George Lucas did commission a lesser big budget sequel to a now called A New Hope, but I just call it Star Wars Episode 4, Star Wars Classic. Yeah. So if you look it up, and it's a novel, it was actually, I guess, it'd be one of the first Star Wars novels. And so a direct sequel to Star Wars, it is called Splinter of the Mind's Eye. And if you read it, so it's actually The Empire Strikes Back is a replacement to it. So it's almost like it's very apt to our podcast today, because it's almost literally splits the multiverse of the Star Wars before there was even that. So if you read Splinter of the Mind's Eye, it's a very contained story taking place on one planet with Vader and Luke and Leia, basically meant to be filmed on the cheap, because Lucas was going to film a cheap sequel if it wasn't as successful as Cameron did mention in the $700 million range. But that's actually comes right back to our point. It actually exists, and George Lucas might have inadvertently, and not even knowing it, kind of created the first multiverse in media, strictly under the guise of, just in case, let's make a low budget version too, which is actually kind of brilliant and practical when it comes down to it.
Yeah,
a backup definitely. Movie.
Yeah, and apparently it's a pretty good book, and apparently pretty cool, and it's been lost in the shuffle because, hey, Star Wars fan here, Empire Strikes Back is the 11 out of 10 S-tier chef's kiss, nothing will ever compare, so you couldn't replace it and even talk about it. But there's a Plan B, Empire Strikes Back, which is kind of never really talked about with Star Wars, and it's very fascinating, and I've actually never read it, so you know what, thank you for bringing it up, because it's an inspiration to read Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Wow. We have covered a lot of ground tonight. I think this is probably our longest episode yet.
I think so. We might be on 11B.
we've shared a ton of movie and book references recommendations. So go check them out. Let us know what you think. Watch The Three Body Problem. And definitely send us your theories, send us your questions, send us what topics you want us to cover. As always, you can reach us at chatterfromtheunderground@gmail.com. I'm Amber. With me tonight were Cameron, Nick, and Java. And Cheers. We will see you all next week.
All right. Have a good night.